You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, the boomer generation is aging. So what happens when the tens of millions of homes they'll vacate over the next few decades hit the market? We'll hear from a reporter who's been looking into it. Right now, it's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. First, Brown County officials are weighing a proposal that would make the county a so-called Second Amendment sanctuary. Doug Schneider is a watchdog reporter for the Green Bay Press-Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin. Doug, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy Friday, Judith. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, on Monday, this proposal was approved by the county's executive committee and sent to the full county board for a vote, but not before it was changed from its original form. What was proposed and what made it through to the final vote?
Well, what was proposed is that the county sheriff would have the right to not enforce any changes to gun laws that he viewed as unconstitutional by the time the board had heard 2 hours of public comment and had significant discussion about it. They basically took out everything except the label. Basically, it says, yes, we support the Second Amendment of the Constitution, but we're not giving anybody else any special powers related to that.
So this was considered at a public meeting that a few dozen people attended. What kind of input did those attending offer?
Well, it was a fairly typical breakdown on the pro-gun control debate. The Second Amendment backers don't want their rights abridged at all, and the other side is kind of interested in being able to consider changes that they believe would make things safer, universal background checks, red flag laws, the usual things. Those are things that Governor Tony Evers has brought up since he's taken office.
These Second Amendment sanctuaries are actually fairly common in some parts of the country. We spoke earlier this year about Florence County, or I guess it was late last year, about Florence County becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary. But that it's still not a very common thing in Wisconsin yet.
That's correct. Florence is the only one to have adopted it. Brown, I don't know, other than the label, that it would really be considered one. The real beachhead nationally right now is Virginia. The Democratic governor-elect has proposed some changes, and about 110 municipalities at last count had adopted some sort of sanctuary legislation. Kind of a patchwork quilt growing around the state.
And briefly, Doug, before we let you go, what's the next step for Brown County?
Full board meets Wednesday. They will consider the proposal in its current form and are very likely to say, yes, we support the Second Amendment of the Constitution, like we support the rest of the Constitution, and leave it at that. There may be some more discussion, but I don't expect a vote that'll change anything.
Well, Doug, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
You too. Doug Schneider is a watchdog reporter for the Green Bay Press-Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin. He talked with us about a proposal to make Brown County a Second Amendment sanctuary. Now, Madison schools are rethinking their zero-tolerance rule on racial slurs after several employees appealed their punishments under the policy. Miranda Suarez is the Lee Esther News Fellow with WPR based in Madison. Miranda, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Madison School District is rethinking its zero tolerance policy on racial slurs after a couple of incidents in the last year. One of those is the case of Sandra Rivera, a school social worker who was suspended. What happened there?
Yeah, so basically, Rivera works at a school called Nuestro Mundo Community School, and she was in a staff meeting about Black excellence. And during that discussion, talking about how to promote Black student success, she says she gave an example of a time she heard a student use the N-word, and she repeated the N-word in full. She was punished for that, and she received something called a disciplinary suspension, which is the worst punishment you can get short of firing. It should be noted she didn't lose any time in school. She didn't lose any wages. That part of the suspension was waived. However, it's still on her record, and so she appealed to the school district to try to get it off.
So she made that appeal, and there was an independent arbitrator who was brought in to look at the case. That report is out now. What did that say?
The independent arbitrator says that discipline should be removed from her record. The arbitrator recommended that the school district get rid of that discipline. Basically, what the arbitrator says was that in this case, the zero tolerance policy is not actually all that clear. The zero tolerance policy isn't noted anywhere that you would usually find rules for the Madison Metropolitan School District. It's not in the handbook. It's not anywhere like that. Basically, what the school district says is the zero tolerance policy was made clear in a couple of emails from the superintendent. But the arbitrator decided, no, actually the policy wasn't all that clear. Some people were interpreting the policy in different ways. A lot of people were saying from that email, I thought what that meant was you can't use a racial slur against someone, not that you can't use it in any context whatsoever.
So it sounds like they are maybe considering revisiting this, because this was not the only incident in the Madison Metropolitan School District in the last year where a staff person was either let go or put on suspension because of this. Remind us what else had happened.
Yeah, so the district announced that it's going to revisit the policy. It's going to rethink it. And that's because of the first incident that kind of blew this issue wide open was the case of Marlon Anderson. So this was back in October. A high school security guard, Madison West High School, named Marlon Anderson, he posts on Facebook that he was fired. How he describes the situation is that a student called him the N-word. Marlon Anderson, he himself is black, asked the student not to call him the N-word, and in doing so, repeated the word in full. He was fired for repeating the word under the zero tolerance policy, and this caused outrage. So over 1,000 people protested his firing. There was national news coverage of this story, and Anderson ended up getting his job back. And that's when the district said they're going to rethink the policy.
Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed, Miranda, and we will certainly be following the issue.
Yeah, thank you.
Miranda Suarez is the WPR Lee Esther News Fellow. She talked with us about why the Madison School District is rethinking its zero tolerance policy on racial slurs. Now we head to Marathon County, where the Merrill School District's plan to close the Maple Grove Elementary School is getting resistance from parents and school administrators. Rob Menser is WPR's Rural Communities reporter based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Judith.
So this is a unique school with a long history. Can you give us a very quick profile of Maple Grove Elementary?
Absolutely. So it was built in 1904. It's in rural Marathon County, and it still sort of looks like a kind of one room schoolhouse. There's the sort of central structure of the building is this one room schoolhouse type building. It's red. Of course, they've built a couple of like extensions onto the building on either side. So it's operated for 116 years, and it's part of the Merrill School District. And right now, since 2012, it's operated as a public charter school that does sort of like project-based learning. The students raise chickens and they compost among, you know, besides doing the traditional subjects, they work on projects like that.
So the Merrill School District says it's looking to close the school for financial reasons. You were at a public meeting on Tuesday that you report got very heated at times. What did you hear from people who are opposed to closing the school?
Yes, the parents take the view and express the view that this is a unique school that offers their kids a unique sort of community and an opportunity for learning. The Merrill School District's officials' sort of rationale here is that the district is losing enrollment, is experiencing declining enrollment, and projects more in the future, and this is a way to save costs on transportation and facilities costs. And they also say that by closing this school, the district would be able to hire additional instructors in reading or math, or as well as school social workers, make other types of changes that they say will help students educationally, but to the parents of the Maple Grove parents, they say that the district would be eliminating this unique and special program that has a sort of community of its own.
So, Rob, when and by whom will the decision be made on what to do with the Maple Grove Elementary School?
So the Merrill School Board intends to move forward with this, with closing this school. The problem is there is a legal complication here because it's a charter school. There's a charter school contract that extends through June 2022. Maple Grove says that they will fight any closure that breaks that contract, and the school's governance board has also voted to explore the possibility of detaching from the Merrill School District and joining another nearby school district, the Athens School District. That would require both districts to agree, and that may be a fight as well.
Well, Rob, thanks for joining us. We'll be keeping up on the issue and come back to you for an update.
Thank you so much.
Rob Menser is WPR's Rural Communities reporter. He was with us to finish out our state news roundup.